Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and we're at Alison's house in Oxford, and we're with the wonderful believers here, great people, and great heart, and great sharings, and God is working in everyone's heart, you know, and he's with us. And what was coming to my mind as we was driving down was, like, we have that open heaven with God. We are seated at God's right hand. And I was thinking about Solomon. I was speaking to a believer in Norway, and she was saying, I was thinking about Solomon. So she was, it was like God was just giving me a key point of where to go to begin. And then I started to think about these other things. But, you know, really, God really desires all of us to be blessed, to be prosperous, to be successful. And that, you know, God gave Solomon that open heaven. You know, ask me what you want. And he wanted wisdom, understanding, insight. He wanted to know how to move in and out amongst God's people. He didn't ask for the prosperity. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. But he asked for God's wisdom. And that blessed the heart of God. And when we go to God for his wisdom, we can do it in lifetime. With God for his wisdom in situations, circumstances, whatever's facing us. Then that blesses the heart of God. We don't have to think about finances, really, we don't. We don't have to worry about them. Because it's a byproduct of living with God that he's going to supply your need. He wants to bless you. He wants you in a position to be a blessing. He's already blessed you with all the spiritual blessings. Now the manifestations of those blessings show up in many different ways, right? But it's God first. Like, our heart is to God. He wants a living relationship with you. He wants you to speak with him. He wants you to give him all your cares, your desires, your anxieties, all the things you worry about, your bank account, maybe rent, or, you know, some bills you got to pay. He said, look, give it to me. Look, I don't want you focusing with these things. I want you focused with me. I'll take care of this. Like Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need to be added unto you. As I was sharing earlier on, that God needs our faith. God is a faith God. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot please him without faith. God has been teaching me about faith. And faith is very important, as well as our confession. And I've been doing faith and confession. But then God's gone another step further with me about what we think in our heart. And it says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How do you think about yourself? How do you see your circumstances? What do you see in your future? Because what you think in the depths of your heart, you will steer yourself towards. You will steer yourself towards. You will talk about that. You will act that way. The Pharisees, the type of people that, you know, we all, I love the scriptures. I read the scriptures, but I used to quote everything from the scriptures. Yes, I believe that scripture. Yes, this scripture is true, and it was. But the emotion of it. God says the word is in your mouth, then it's in your heart. To get that word in your heart, you need to say that word, right? Now we're talking about saying what's been written down, those great and precious promises. Why? Because when it gets down into your heart, then you will really start to believe, right? Because faith comes from the heart. We've been programmed since the day we've been born. A computer, if you program it to do certain functions and to produce certain results, will always give those results. So when I've programmed this computer to do just numbers, it's going to give me numbers all the time. But when I program it to do letters and to do videos and to do audios and stuff like this and to do more functionality, then I got a totally different computer. God says to us, like, be not conformed to this world. We don't need to react the way an unbeliever would react, someone that doesn't know God, okay, or religious people. We don't need to get down and, oh, praise you, Jesus, or praise you, God, that you're going to get me out of this and not really believe it. A lot of people praise God because they think that God's going to go to work and get them out of a situation because they're praising God. But it's got to be from a heart. God is the heart surgeon. And he's saying, look, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Faith is a law. Faith comes by hearing. Yeah. And hearing the words from God. And that's a preposition. It can be the word of God or the word from God. So God wants you to get his word in your mouth, in your heart. Then it starts to change the way that you think and those emotions and those feelings with body, soul and spirit. That soul part of us has emotions. And when those emotions are out of sync with the truth, we can quote as much as we want, but you're not going to get a manifestation of what God says you can have. you know, that's why we build that word in our heart. That's why we go to God and we, you know, we pray to God. He wants us to have that living relationship with Him. He wants you to cast all your burdens upon Him because He cares for you. He wants you to practice these things. He really does. And when we look at the scriptures, you know, there was a time when the children of Israel were in bondage and God was saying, no one is saying restore. Well, what's that going to do? You know, we need to take some action. No. God says no one is saying that. You need to say what you want, not what you see. I am healed. I am healthy. I am prosperous. See, you are already successful. You don't become successful and say I'm successful. That's what the world does. We're not to be conformed to this world. God says you are already successful. If you've got the spirit of the living God, you are already successful. Do you believe me or do you think I'm just saying this to try and do a great teaching? Listen, if you look at Joseph, Joseph was in a lot of problems, right? His brothers beat him up. He was sold into slavery. Okay, he went to prison. But God says he was prosperous. And he was prosperous because God was with him. He must have been a humble guy as well. He must have drawn upon those promises that God had given to him. That, you know, these people would bow down to him. He must have kept that in his heart and mind. God knew what he was going to face, so he gave him something through those challenges. You know, God knows what you're going to face in your life situations, and he's with you. And if you go and depend upon God, if you start to say what God says, if you keep your eyes focused on his promises to you, then you will start to manifest them. If you start to say what God said, every morning I wake up, right, and I say, Father, I thank you that your blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. Now, when I first started to say that, I would have this little knots in my stomach and, you know, is that really true? I'd have that little bit of doubt, the old man coming in there. It'd be mixed with belief and unbelief, you see. But the more I started to say it, the more those negatives dropped off. And the emotion side, I started to notice that my emotions were changing. That I had this peace in my heart. That I was really believing what I was saying. That I wasn't just quoting because I had a knowledge of the scriptures. No, that I've stacked up all this. I've taken all these classes, which are fantastic, by the way, and helped me greatly. So I'm not knocking anything of that. But what I'm saying is, it can't be, well, yes, I know the scriptures say this, and so now you do this. It's just like being a Moses to the people. You know, if you think about Moses, you know, what was he saying to all those people to help them at that time when he was, you know, letting all the people come to him? He didn't have a Bible to open, did he? No. Where was he getting his wisdom from? God. Where did Solomon get his wisdom from? God, because he asked God. It says in James that if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you. But you expect to receive it. You need to expect from God. Like, Al, he didn't take no for an answer from these guys, like you should be doing this and that. No, you're not going to control what I do. Don't let your circumstances control what you do. Jesus Christ didn't let any circumstances control him. And God is with you. You don't have to follow a man or a woman or anything. God wants you to go directly with him. I was sharing with him, like, if you think about Jesus and John, they were live at the same time. But John wasn't focused on what Jesus was doing. He was focused on what God gave him to do, right? Yeah, he recognized him. He honored him, like he recognized who Jesus was. Jesus also honored John. But he wasn't hanging around John, was he? Where was their dependency upon? Jesus didn't go to John and say, you know, do you think I should walk on the water and build these guys' faith up? No, he didn't, did he? So, like, where, you don't have to follow someone to move powerfully with God. But when you begin to move with God, you'll recognize that need to be around like-minded people. You want to be around like-minded people, so you want people to speak your language, which is God's language, right? So when you started to speak, you were speaking my language, you were building my faith. I'm like, yeah, I love this, keep going. You know, so our job is to build not only our faith, but the people that we're speaking to. We don't want to come from a academic background way when we deal with people. Now that'll help us. It does help us, you know, to get this information of things, but to operate in the keys of the kingdom, how God operates. How does God operate? It's faith. You know, like the law of gravity. I was talking about it last time I came here. Like, you've got the law of gravity. You jump off that building, what's going to happen? You're going to go straight down, right? To overcome the law of gravity, you've got the law of lift and all these different types of laws. But faith is a law and it works the same time, every time. Giving and receiving is the same thing. It works the same time, every time. Your confession, what you say. Your words are seed. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the what? The fruit thereof. Where does fruit come from? Seed. So your words are seeds. We need to speak seeds of greatness, of God's great and precious promises to us and what he works in us. We're to call those things not as though they were. That's how God operates. He calls those things which are not as though they were. He said to Abraham, I have made thee the father of many nations. Abraham was not a father of many nations in the census realm at that time, but God called it, okay? And then he just needed Abraham to come into agreement with it. And so God had to work with his, what, faith. And he did. I mean, they got an Ishmael because they kind of tried to do things in their own strength. How many Ishmaels have we got? Many. Many Ishmaels, because we've done things in our own strength and ability. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to hear his voice and do what he puts in our hearts to do. It's very simple. Our walk is very simple. Whatever situation you're in, you know, you need to get a picture, a figure in mind of your deliverance. Get your deliverance in mind. See yourself doing what you're not doing now. See the picture of you preaching to the thousands, the millions. See people being raised from the dead and people being healed and delivered. See it there. What you think in your heart, you'll become. It's a law. It's going to work that way every time. If you look at your situation, I can never rise up against this situation. I can never overcome this challenge. Then you won't. You've just set that law in motion into your life. God set it up for us to see these things. You know, Jesus was teaching his disciples every time. You know, about faith, about confession, about speaking unto this mountain. If you believe in your heart and doubt not, when you pray, believe that you've already got what you've prayed for. You've got to see it as a done deal. See it as a done deal. You don't have to ask God again. You don't have to pray to God again. The only time you pray is if your faith's coming down on it. No, but then you keep your faith high, you start to say. So when I wake up in the morning, Father, I thank you that your blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. I thank you that I'm blessed when I lie down, when I rise up, when I come in, when I go out. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the store, and I add, I'm blessed in my bank. I'm blessed in my PayPal account. I'm blessed in my safe. I'm blessed in my cash flow. Is it wrong? Oh, you can't say that. Oh, I can. And you know what? It becomes. It will become. Because the unbelievers see these principles. What did Jesus say? The children of this are wiser than the children of God in their generation, because they operate in the principles of God without God. But those principles work. But God gave us those principles to operate in. And when we start to see them and start to operate in them, and it comes from a relationship with God, desiring God. So I was saying to Father, look, Father, really show me. I don't want to get stuck every 5 minutes in my walk. I don't want to be fellowshipping with people then to be cast out because I said something they don't like. I don't want to be around that. I want to be with you, and I want to be with people that are like-minded, and I want to see the great things. And this is why God showed me this faith and confession. I've read books and stuff like that, you know, and heard little things about it, but see, a lot of people hear teachings, and they say, yeah, that was a great word, brother. That was a great word, sister. But do they listen to your words? We need to be connected to the words that we're hearing. What I'm sharing will hit everybody's heart in a different way. It will hit your heart different to James's heart, and James's heart different to Ian's or Jason's or Barbara, okay, or yourself, right? Everyone's going to be touched in a certain way. There's certain things just for you that if you're tuned in to listen, and then take those things that are inspiring faith in you now, and determine, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this into practice. And then just go to God, Father, help me to do this. Help me to do this. Don't try and do it in your own strength or a system or a religious way of doing things. But Father, you help me. You show me. Show me how to put my faith into action. Show me how to receive all the great things that you've freely given me to enjoy. Because he does want us successful. He wants us in great positions. We're supposed to rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. We got a direct access to God. We need to use that direct access. So prayer is the greatest thing to begin. When you begin to pray, then he will give you a desire. That desire will start to come into your heart. When you decide to act upon that desire, as he leads you, you start to get results, the deliverance. Dr. Elwood done a great teaching, and the Bible tells me so, about getting the image in mind, getting focused. It was a great sharing, you know, release from your prisons. And there's so many prisons, and there's so many wonderful believers that are in emotional prisons, mental prisons, physical prisons, because they just don't hold that figure in mind of God's truth. It's not just enough to hear what's being said, but to take to your heart what's touching your heart right now, and then decide, I'm going to do that. Straight away, no messing around, mean business. God wants you to mean business. And he says, as soon as you do that, I'm going to go to work for you. Grace is that God does the work. Since I've been operating in this way, this faith and confession, going to God, you know, I read the scriptures, and I'm trying to find more great principles and promises I can apply in my life, and to see God's heart. He begins to open up the scriptures in a wonderful and dynamic way. But he wants it for me so it's practical in my life. It's not just enough to know the written scriptures. We need to know the living God, the fountain of living water. He wants to open up those truths for you. So it's not just, oh, fellowship again. We're going to hear the same things again. And yeah, it's going to be lovely. And, you know, because we have all been there, right? I've been there. Oh, not a fellowship again. You know, we're going to have this person sat there with a long face. That person going, yeah, it's great and never change. Like he was talking about change. See, the change happens when you apply, when you decide with God, I'm going to live unto you. It's not a big deal. It's just like, I'm going to do this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to forsake my old ways. I'm going to forsake the stagnant pools of life. I'm going to come to the fountain of living waters. Now, why do we come to fellowship? We want to be encouraged. We want fellowship with one another, with God, and see what God's speaking into our life. But we come to learn. Whoever's teaching, whether it's me, Al, Alison, Esther, James or Ian, we come to learn. So are your ears open? In other words, are you looking for that word that's going to change your heart, that's going to get you moving?
Can I just share something that ties in very well? I heard somebody say, the word talks about the meat and the drink.
Yeah.
The milk and the meat of the word. And the milk, which is easier to take in, will be the love of God, the comfort of God, the peace of God. We love to hear that. It's absolutely wonderful. And we have need of that at certain times. But the meat will be that which provokes us to change.
Yes.
And that's what you've just said, that when we hear, we come to hear the word so we can grow more Christ-like.
Yes.
And we all love hearing, you're the best. Yeah, I love you. And you're great. And wowee. That's the milk. We love it. Lots of milk. But that meat that God will be calling us upward, transforming us by the renewing of our mind to be more like Christ. Mm. Are we going to respond to that or jump back to more milky poos?
That's it, yeah.
And that's the point at which we say, yes, I will.
See, there's always a decision. Are we going to just do the same old thing? Are we just going to sit, have a nice fellowship? Or are we going to do the things that God is touching our hearts from what you're hearing right now? You need to decide, I'm going to do this. It's not between me. I'm just the deliverer of the message. It's not on me. It's between you and God. But God wants me to be bold in what I'm saying. And he wants you to really go to him and say, I'm fed up with being pushed around. I am a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High God with Christ in me, and I am victorious. And no more darkness. Let there be light. Speak into your situation. Speak what God says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the changing of your mind, right? You change your thinking, that you prove to yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to prove his promises. When God says, prove me here now, if saith the Lord, if I will not pour you out a blessing, when it comes to the tithe, right? When he was talking about the tithe, he said, do it and prove me. I'll back it up if you do it. I'll pour those blessings, you won't be able to receive it. He wants to bless us. He is for you. He really wants to bless. He's not telling you off now. He's saying, look, operate in my principles. I've given them there. The keys to you receiving from me and walking in freedom in there. But you need to listen. In Chronicles it says, believe God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Does God want you to prosper? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, in your relationship, in your workplaces. He wants you. Why does he? He wants you to stand out. That's why God led the children of Israel into that land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't want the unbelievers to have that. He wanted the believers to have that. Everything already provided. And everything is already provided through Christ. Everything. All your emotional needs have been provided for. Your mental needs have been provided for. Your physical needs have been provided for. Your financial needs are being provided for. And the way that you receive it is by coming into agreement with God and doing what he says. Operate those principles. Honor God. I'm not saying this to you to honor, you know, give to me, but honor God. I used to say to you, if you don't want to give to me, give to somewhere else, but you'll see the principle will work.
Absolutely.
Because it's a law that God set up. As you give, you shall receive, and to the measure you give it.
It's you who actually benefits.
Amen. Right. You first. You benefit, and people don't see it.
It's wrong to focus on the actual place where.
Yes, that's right.
Blessing's gone, supposedly. Yeah. But really, it's that person, you know, taking steps, I think.
Yeah. You see, the point is, it's not, you give where God shows you to give. No one, no minister should tell you, you've got to give to me. I don't believe that, you know. Mm. You give where you're being blessed and where you're being edified, right?
As somebody said, you wouldn't go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, then walk into KFC and pay them.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So, you have to think of who feeds you the word of God. And because of the day and time that we live in and all people, because of distance and time, you know, we get fed. So we give where we're fed.
Yeah, and where you're encouraged, you know, God will show you. He directs your heart.
Yeah.
And I know Alison's not in it for money. I'm not in this. This is our life. We love God with all our heart. And we know that God is faithful. And I know you guys do too, right? And it's maybe for a benefit of someone that's going to listen to this, right? But at the end of the day, God has wants meat in his house. He's given us principles to apply. But the great thing is, Paul said, it's not that I desire a gift, but fruit abounds to your account. You've got an account. And when you give, that's added to your account. And when you need it, you claim on your account. If you've got a bank account, have you got a bank account? Have you got a bank account?
Yeah.
We all have bank accounts, right? And there's maybe some money in there, prayerfully. There's lots of money in there for us. When you need to draw on it, what do? You go to the ATM, or you write a check out, you pay your bills for it, you draw on that account. You've got an account with God. God wants you to draw on that account. Okay, but he wants you to operate in the principles he set out because it's going to bless you first and foremost. Where you do that is between you and God, and he'll direct your heart, right? But, there, you know, we see it in the scriptures. God wants you to be blessed. So, like, we have to remember that, you know, there's no condemnation to any of us, right? Because we are in Christ Jesus. You're already in Christ Jesus. If you've got the Spirit of God, you are in Christ Jesus. I know we was taught before you've got to renew your mind to be in Christ Jesus, but that's just not true. See, the condemnation that Paul was talking about was the condemnation that come into the world through the fall of Adam and Eve. And when that fall happened, poverty come in, lack come in, sickness come in. And God says that there is therefore now, through Paul, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Next verse says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from what? The law and sin and death. A believer is not under curse. We are not under curse. Praise God. Praise Jesus Christ also, because he laid down his life. We are not under a curse. We're not under lack. We're not under poverty. We're not under sickness. So we don't have to accept that. We don't have to accept it. We need to find out, okay, what is mine and where am I being ripped off by the enemy? Go and claim what's yours, you know, but you can just go directly to God. You save all the fuss and bother, go directly to God and say, Father, now you teach me. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to do. But like I share with a lot of people, you know, you need to be connected to the words that are being spoken. And God is feeding you right now for a need that's coming up, right? So that you don't have to struggle for it. He wants you to be abundantly blessed spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, in your fellowship with people. He really is for you. He really is for you. But we have got to turn the keys. We've got to use those keys, those principles. Understand them, how they work. Everyone knows, everyone uses it. Everyone knows the law of gravity, principles that unbelievers apply, and they receive great things. They do it without God. But God set it up for us so that we can do it with God and understand them and not be destroyed for a lack of knowledge of those things, as well as a lack of knowledge how God operates. God operates in all those principles. You know, when Jesus Christ multiplied the bread, what was happening? When he multiplied that bread, atoms were just reforming everything. He operated in the signs. He knew how these things operated. He walked on water. He knew the laws to do that. He knew the laws to overcome that. God was working in his heart. The law of faith was the law that made him be able to walk on water. What happened with Peter when he did? He did. Peter walked on water. What happened when he took his eyes off? His faith became low. He started to sink. So we need to be connected to good doctrine, sound doctrine that activates you to move with God, to apply his principle. You need to understand, if you've got any need in your hearts, minds, and life, finances right now, are you operating in what God's given you to operate in, those principles of success that are all in his scriptures? And this is what God's teaching me, and I'm telling you, it starts with this confession. Getting that word in your heart, get it down so it becomes a part of your emotions, it's lined up. See, a lot of people got their goals up there, but their mind and heart is down here. You need to be level with it. And to be level with that, you've got to get in the motion of it. The ocean of motion, baby. If you listen to some of these boxers, right? Like Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and many other people are picking up about this. They say, if you've got to believe it, say it and confess it. And they're being successful. They're operating, but I don't think they're doing it with the heart of God. But they're using the principle. But when you're doing it with the heart, the love, the devotion to God, that God's first, you love him, you're thankful that you can see these principles, that you begin to apply. I'm only beginning to apply them. My life changed greatly. Really, my fellowship every morning, I used to wake up thinking, oh, there's not many people to fellowship with. You know, there's not much encouragement. And my mind was in the wrong place. And my heart would be heavy, emotions churning. Seriously, like the last 3 or 4 years was like that. Until I started to change, until God said to me, you need to say what you want, not what you see. Stop confessing what you are going through. Start saying what you want. Call those things not as though they were. Like, there's many things I could have taught today, but I think this faith and confession and emotions, realizing that we're body, soul, and spirit, and those emotions need to be lined up, we need to start practicing. If you have not already started practicing, I greatly encourage you. So I think that's what I want to share right now. But really, like, thank you, Alison, for, you know, giving us that open door, and thank you, God. And I really, it's all in the scriptures, baby. Go to the scriptures will show you what I'm saying. And if we're humble to God, say, Father, show me it. Let me see what Lawrence is saying. Let me see it in your scriptures, because the scriptures will verify what God is revealing by the Spirit. And he opens up those scriptures to us. And if we just begin to operate in his laws, his principles, ask him to show us, ask him for wisdom, like Solomon asked for wisdom. And God was so blessed. That wisdom was like insight as well. Look at the words insight, wisdom in that record in 1 Kings chapter 3. If you look at, you know, understanding, wisdom, look up those words, the Hebrew words, from there, fantastic. God was so blessed that God gave his insight to King Solomon, and God has given you his insight already. You just got to recognize it. Religion will cloud those things so we can't see these simple truths. Doctrines of man will cloud these things so you can't see the principal truth, that the power is in your hands, because God has already given you power. He's given you Holy Spirit. He's placed everything into your hands. And you say, now operate this way. If you operate this way, you'll start to see success. It will change. Mine's changing, honestly. I don't do too much. I just go to God. And then I'm learning just to cease from my own works and to enter into his rest. Allow grace to go to work, which is God does the work. That's grace. You know, if it's by grace, it's because there's faith there. See, we're believing God to do it for us. And so it's fantastic.
There's a wonderful verse in Job. It says, thou shalt make a decree and it shall be done.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think when we know something's the will of God, either healing, health for us or for a loved one, and you've prayed with them and it hasn't quite happened, But you get them and you confessing the word, and as you say, as you confess, to start a day for all of us to confess we are blessed financially and in prosperity. If we were to do that every day, our faith would rise. Then when something comes up, yes, you make that decree and bang, it's done.
Yeah.
And that's when we can pray for some things we pray for and we know it's done. We don't think of it again. And others, God still draws us. We need to pray for that. We need to pray. And then as our faith grows, we say, dear God, I know it's done. And he shows us it's done.
Mm.
And then there's a release.
Yeah. And remember, this is a great time of restoration right now. It's always a great time of restoration, but more specifically, God is doing some restoring in the body of Christ as well as outside. He's a God of reconciliation. And we just need to get on. Say restore. Whatever it is that needs to be restored. God said no one is saying restore. We need to say that. We need to say restore. And I've done a teaching on it. Is on the YouTube about God is restoring to you. I sent it to you, didn't I, Esther? But God is restoring. And you need to say restore. Relationships restore, emotions restore, mind restore,
finances restore.
Yes, finances restore. Listen, have a greater expectation on your finances. Mm-hmm. Operate in the principles. Operate in the principles. Don't do it for 1 second and forget. But if you got to be faithful. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. If you're faithful in that which at least God is going to trust you with the true riches, the spiritual ones, the understanding, the wisdom. That's where the real life is for me. Finances are just finances, but we need them. And God says this is what you need to do
comes
if you want
goes,
more of
comes
them.
Again.
Yeah. You give out and it comes in. Give out and it comes in. You know, don't store. Don't store up, you know, unless God shows you. Just use God's wisdom. Father, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to pay the bills this month? They all got to be paid, but which one's first? What's your wisdom? Do I hold back on this one for now? Is there a reason? And I've done this, and it always worked out perfectly. God is faithful. And that's the one thing at the end of this, I'll shut up now, is that God, no matter what, is faithful. And even when I'm not faithful, God is faithful. And he loves you so much. He really loves you. He really does love you. He's got your best interest at heart. He wants you to flourish and grow. He wants you to be free within heart and mind. He wants you to have fun. He wants you to have fun. He does. And he loves you. So anyway, thank you, Alison. Bless your heart.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for your love for us, your presence, all that's been said in this time. And we pray, Father, the seeds of truth sink deeply into the depth of our heart and soul. And may we be changed people after this and walk forth in greater light, greater deliverance, greater wholeness. In Christ's name, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free.
And number 178, wide, wide as the ocean.
Wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Father's love. I, though so unworthy, still am a child of his care, for his word teaches me that his love reaches me everywhere. Wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Father's love. I, though so unworthy, unworthy, still I'm a child of His care. For His word teaches me that His love reaches me everywhere.
And 191, every moment of the day. Every moment of the day, my Father cares for me. Every moment of the day, my heart from fear is free. He who sees the sparrow fall will hear my call. Every moment of the day, God watches over me. And the next one, 192, following Jesus. We'll sing this one twice.
Following Jesus every day by day, nothing can harm me when He leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, whatever befall, Jesus my Savior as my all in all. Following Jesus every day by day, nothing can harm me when He leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, water before, Jesus my Savior is my all in all.
And can we just sing Expect Miracles every day?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've just done some videos to send to Leanne.
I don't know. 28.
This is my favourite, It's one I've been singing a lot lately, and it's paid off.
Excellent. Excellent. Because, you know, our expectation is our faith. We can do a word study on verses on faith or believing. But if you wake up on a Monday morning and expect a bad day, that's your faith, you're believing. So our expectation, we have to be honest with, and it's just thinking about what we think about. If we're expecting failure, non-event, kind of nothingness or grey, that's the way it's set. So when we expect miracles, God's divine power, His divine provision, His voice to come through, it comes through.
Amen.
So it's a great one.
Expect miracles every day. Expect miracles when you pray. When you expect them, God has got the way to perform miracles for you each day. Expect miracles every day. Expect miracles when you pray. When you expect them, God has got the way to perform miracles for you each day.
Yay, that's a good one.
Well, I'm going to open in a word of prayer, and then after that, anybody who would like to share something that's blessed them, a verse that's touched their heart, whatever there's on that's on their heart to share, we'll have a time that everybody can do so. Father God, I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ for this time of being here together. And God, we know You are a living God and You are here. We thank You for being so good, so true, so faithful to Your word, and for loving us as Your beloved children. Thank You for loving us no less than You loved Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for making us beloved sons and daughters today. Thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a fantastic Saviour He is, Father. Thank You for the wholeness, the deliverance, the fullness, the healing, the prosperity, all that we walk in today because of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name alone, Father, that brings us into heaven and earth here, that we can live with great blessing, power, prosperity, healing because of Jesus Christ. And we thank You with joy unspeakable, Father. And we thank you for this blessed time that we can speak as you lead us to, and let you be honoured, Father. It's not about us. It's about you and your Son. And we pray you be magnified in what we say and what we speak. But it's your voice that we desire to hear above any other. And we love you and we praise you. We honour you and give you the thanks and the honour for this beautiful world we live in, the breath that we breathe, the families that we have, both earthly and spiritual, because truly you've called us to your family where each one of us are brothers and sisters together. And we thank you, God, for all our brothers and sisters all over the earth. You are truly no respecter of persons. People might play favourites, but you don't, Father. Amen. Your love is on each of your beloved children. And we thank you for the privilege of being called by you, Father, and truly living for you in your love, in your honesty, in your greatness is life's highest aim. Let the world keep their power, their position, their money. We can shine for you and for our Lord. And we thank you for the beautiful life that is. So we thank you for this time, being so gracious, being so kind, being so merciful. We honour you and we praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So, who would like to share a wee something?
I will. So I think the last time I was here, I was sharing about a young lady that I visit once a week. Yes, her name's Sophia. And she's had the baby, and I got to have lots of cuddles. She had a really easy time, nothing complicated. As I told you, the sugar diabetes had left. And we actually had a phone call to the surgery to say that she'd had the baby. So I was all excited, waiting for my Thursday, because that's the days I go to visit her. And when I got there was this four-day-old baby. And she said that through all the things that had gone on over her pregnancy and with her drugs and with the changings of her house and her home and her life, she really believed it was down to the prayers that I had prayed with her, and also praying for her, and then the believers that I got involved. So she named the baby Hope, which
fantastic.
I thought was such a beautiful name.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's something that she'd hoped for a very long time, and because of the drugs she never thought it really would actually come into fruition. But that she really believed that God had turned her life around, and she was very thankful for God bringing me into her life. And she said that the baby was going to be calling me Auntie Kimmy. When she gets to speak, she's going to know who you are. And I said, well, that's wonderful. So it's nice to be able to follow up on things as well, because I obviously knitted her a blanket that I'd actually made for Maya when she was in her mummy's tummy. And she carries that blanket and takes that blanket to bed. And I thought, it's just a nice little gesture. It was handmade. It took a lot of time.
It's got personal love in it. Beautiful.
Yes. And when the first day I went there, the baby was wrapped in the blanket as well. Mm. So that was really touching. So you can keep her in your prayers. She's doing absolutely fantastically. The boyfriend went through a little sticky patch last week. And when I went there, she said he'd left. And that he wasn't coping with no sleep. And quite a young guy, but I said, well, absence always makes the heart grow fonder. I said, he doesn't actually know what he's missing until, you know, he will be back. And he was back on Thursday.
Life's a long time. Just something happens immediately.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it always stays that
way. No, right. And it changes well, you know, sleepless nights, I think it gets to all parents. But yes, so and then when I went there Thursday, we did actually pray for him and pray that he would be back. And she does need the support, so I was very thankful to see him there on Thursday. And as I was leaving out the door, his last words to me was, please pray for us. So if you want to keep them in your prayers, that would be awesome.
Would you like to pray now and we'll all pray for her?
Yes, yes. Okay, so Heavenly Father, we lift Sophia to you and Mark, and I thank you for the wonderful family that they are, God. I thank you for Hope and just the precious little baby that's been born, and just that you really, really give me the precious words to give to them, God, the fitly spoken words, the words that they need to hear, the words that are going to encourage and edify, and that is a specific word for them, so that they know that you're present, that they know that you're in their lives, God, just so that they have no fears, no worries, no doubts, and as they raise Hope within the boundaries of your word, God, that you just give me those wonderful words of encouragement to give to them. And I thank you for their relationship between one another and also their relationship with the baby. And just that the next coming weeks and months are, that they see the difference, that they see you in their lives, God, and that they learn to turn to you and to pray to you. That it's not always has to be me that prays, but that they can pray too, and that they can call on you. And you always hear them and you'll always answer. And I thank you also that we can get them born again, God, that we can get that spirit within.
Amen.
So I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She is a very, very amazing person, actually. I mean, I knew something was different about her when I first met her, but, you know, we have this... my automatic reaction was to judge her with the drink and the drugs and the way that she was living. And afterwards, when I came away from there, on the day she told me she was pregnant, my thoughts went into a five-sense mode, you know, that this isn't going to be possible, you know, she'll have the baby, they'll take the baby from her. And then after I started to think these thoughts, my mind changed to what it could be, that it doesn't have to be that way. And so the next time I went back and I kept asking how she was, and I was feeding the word, just constantly feeding the word. And I think it only took about 2 or 3 weeks and she was off the drugs, and she asked me to pray that she didn't have withdrawal symptoms, which was absolutely amazing, because I think she had 1 or 2 bad days, but the rest of it was really pretty smooth for somebody that had been taking heroin for such a long time. So, you know, that anything is possible with God. It doesn't have to be like when people say, oh, I have a headache, and you minister to the headache, and people don't seem that that's a big task for God. But if you're diagnosed with cancer, it's all, well, you know, that's unfixable. But it's not, because it's only us that give these
limits to God.
Yeah, and also give the diseases and illnesses names. You know, there's no names when it comes with God. He just says, well, be healed. Or, you know, Christ, when you read in the Gospels, and Christ said, you know, your faith has made you whole. Or there was no specific name of that illness. It's just down to us to believe. And that faith is so hard for some people. But when you start to see that you're believing and you start to see how God comes to pass, then our faith increases. And it's not something we can teach someone, something that we learn ourselves when we see God, you know, when we pray, when we're in our quiet place and we pray for something specific, like Alison was saying earlier. We've all had trials and tribulations, you know, we've all had things happening over the last few days. And it's when we get quiet and we pray to God and God comes through, and then we think, well, nobody heard me pray that, but God's come through, and then your faith starts to build.
Yeah.
And then the more you go to God, the more you see God come through. And yeah, and now I see her. She has all her needs met. The baby has everything it could possibly want. She doesn't have family around her either. So the social workers are going in, because obviously they're going to keep an eye on her. But she even said on Thursday, actually, that the social worker was so pleased, she's only going to come back every 6 weeks now instead of, you know, two or three times a week. So it's just amazing. And the part that God has me playing in that, in her life as well, that I can stay with her for 10, 20 minutes and I can feed her bits of information, you know, telling her about the fellowships, that I really want to get her to the point where she gets born again now. Mm-hmm. You know, wonderful. She's had a lot of words, she's heard a lot, and I'm just going to make sure she knows it's available, mm-hmm. so that she can have Christ in her and she can speak in tongues, because that's the best thing. Absolutely. You know, that's that real direct communication when you speak in tongues.
Isn't it fantastic that truly God is no respecter of persons?
Yeah.
You know, here we all are, we're all kind of nice looking and well dressed, and we're going to have some nice food. And I think one of the things technology has done has brought the reality of people in Africa and India into our lives. 20, 25 years ago, without television and satellite, we didn't know how certain people were living and what they were doing. And then we were becoming aware of different cultures, and that they are equal to those in Western world. I mean, history has shown that there's been, I mean, you think of how the black people were condemned hundreds of years ago and were thought of as less important. And I think over the years, people have thought people from poor countries are less significant than people in the mighty Western world,
yeah.
and where all the power and the influence is. But not in the eyes of God. And as you say about that girl and calling her little girl Hope, you know, and you think of Mary Magdalene, we were chatting about that, about women in the Bible. Yeah. The first person Jesus Christ showed himself to was a woman.
Mm.
Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not everybody would want her in their church in the front row.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a mess, you know, or... And you see that people put sin in different categories. There's nice, cleaned up, respectable sin. But somebody who's sitting in a shop corner with vomit down themselves on a Sunday morning, do we really want to show the love of Jesus to them? Or maybe we'll leave them for somebody else to talk to. And those are the kind of thoughts in our mind. You know, as you said, you honestly let the light of God come in your thinking.
Yeah.
And you responded to that. And something that's been in my heart that has blessed me to see that, you know, over our years walking with God, if you think of the times that we haven't received the way we should, I think many times it's our thinking that's let us down. You know, and, you know, if I was to say, you know, who believes that God has raised Jesus from the dead? I know you don't have to do it, but we'd all raise our hand. If I said to, you know, 100 Christians, say, do you believe you've got the power within you that raised Christ from the dead? You know, oh, yes. Who believes they're blessed with all spiritual blessings? Oh, yes. You know? And everything they'd say yes to. But then if you said, well, why aren't you changing the world then? And that's because of our mind. And God thinks very highly of the renewed mind. Because
yeah.
everything God has done in Christ is phenomenal. It's all done, it's complete. But the way it transfers in this earth is through my head and my thinking.
Yeah.
So I can hear a truth, I can hear a verse, but if I don't translate it into my thinking, my life, my speaking, it just stops there. You know, say for example, say a financial problem hits me. Oh, gosh, I've got this debt here, man. And I start chatting to my neighbour there, and he's got financial debt too. So we're having a chat there, and he talks about this fantastic plan. It's really clever. It's just good, you know. And say I say to him, you know, thanks, I think I'm going to go with that, you know, we'll just go forward with that. If I haven't gone to God in prayer and humility and sought his voice and perspective, I'm no more than an atheist in that area of my life, but I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So I can talk prosperity, learn prosperity, teach prosperity, but if it doesn't translate into how I live and speak and think, I need to honestly change my thinking. And I think that's where the honesty, you know, comes in.
Yeah.
If I'm more favoured to share the word of Jesus Christ with somebody who's nicely dressed and comes from a nice part of town, and I think, well, they'll look nice sitting on my Laura Ashley sofa there.
Yeah.
I'll have them.
Yeah.
But then that's what the testimony of God is, and Jesus testified to the living scriptures. The real people loved him. The people who had the knowledge of the scriptures stood far back and criticized. And God deliver us from that. God deliver us from that. But the real people clamber to be with him, to touch him, to hear his word, and to love him. So Jesus is everything. The moment we take our eyes off of him, we've lost something.
Yeah.
In all honesty, people talk about theology. Jesus is perfect theology. You look at how he spoke, how he turned the hearts of people, how he said to Peter, when he said, you know, who do people think I am? And said, well, I've got a toll here. You know, 30% think you're John the Baptist. You know, another 30% think you're Elijah. 10% think you got up from the dead. All right, who do you say I am, Peter? You are the Son of the Living God. And he said, you didn't get that by yourself. That was revealed to you by Spirit. See, everything by Spirit or by flesh. And then a moment later, when he was saying he would die, Peter said, no, you're not going to die. And Jesus confronted him and said, what you're saying is of Satan. Stop it. So we've got these two sources. Every time we open our mouth, there's no middle way. I used to think, there's just Alison, and she means well, and that's okay. No, it's not. It's either spiritually minded or carnally minded. Carnal mind doesn't bring glory to God. It wars against the truth of God. It wars against it. Spiritually minded, life and peace. And if we don't have that peace of God, we're missing it. It's one way. There's no sitting in the fence. So I get so blessed to think about what I'm thinking about, and then I find I can stay at peace more and speak for him and minister greater, staying in the light. We talk about that in the phone, Barbara, don't we?
We do.
We have great phone calls, don't we?
And there's so many people in the Bible where different verses you can have that you can help yourself with, and remembering them. One of my favourite ones is the leper who went up to Jesus and said, cleanse me, you can do it. You know, and he said, I will, be thou clean. And that is just faith, you know.
Yeah.
And the lady with the blood issue where she went up and touched his cloak. And if you keep those sort of people in your mind, that's how your faith should be. And then you start seeing things happening, isn't it?
Yeah,
because that's what I try to do as well. But sometimes, you know, the old man takes over, doesn't it? You're washing up or you're doing something, and you know, I'll tell him when I see him, and then it comes into you. I'm not to be like. I renew my mind. This isn't Christian, and you can stop just like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when we're driving and that, today with Robert, he drives up and waiting to get out of Sainsbury's. I'm not letting him in. Yes, you are. You're a Christian. and it, you can just turn it off. And it's surprising, as soon as you think of God, this isn't the right way of thinking.
Yeah.
You're in. Sometimes in a half sentence, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because you just stop. Oh, I should be doing this.
Love it. I love it. So, Sophia means wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
But no, I just electrifying when words of faith, like when you're speaking by the Spirit, like when God's given you those words, like you've been sharing, it sets something off in me.
Yeah.
You know. It builds you, and I got so much I want to share, but I'll save it for later. But it's really great, like just hearing those words. Are just God just confirms in the Spirit. Yeah. Like I was coming up, and I'm like, what do I share? You know, what do you want me to share? I mean, there was many things I can share, but I want it from God. I don't want it from my intellect. So, you know, we can know many Bible verses, And people think it qualifies them to be the master on everything. But it doesn't. You just know that Bible verse, right? And so you'll see people, you know, do you believe in prosperity? Do you believe in healing? Yes, I do, but I'm not receiving it. And there's a simple key which I'll share later to it, you know.
But in the car yesterday, all what Alison's just shared, she wasn't, could have been in the car with us.
Yeah. What you've just you got a bug in the car, haven't
you? Yeah, you're bugging us. But he was talking about, you know, this positive confession, because even though you might not feel good inside, still confess, I do feel good, because like you were saying, it's the mind where everything, you know, connotes an action. So if you say you don't feel well, then you're not going to be well. If you wake up in the morning, you're going to say, oh, this is going to be a bad day, then it's going to be a bad day. And Danny and Amber were like, well, where are you going with this? You said just to
share
the good thing.
I shared, we are body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
And in that soul is our will, mind, and emotions. So a lot of people, including myself in times past, would say, yes, I believe, but the emotion of it wasn't lined up, right? So you can say, yeah, I feel really great, I am healed, but not believe it in here. The emotion of it is not there because you're still churned up, or you're still thinking about that situation. So the enemy plays a big part in working against you for your old man nature. So yeah, I believe, but inside, that emotion of it is not there. That has to be there. But that comes there. You can get that emotion of faith lined up by one simple thing, which I'll share later on. And I've shared it, and you know it anyway. But when you really understand it and put it into action, your whole world will change. When it starts to change, and everything has changed for me. You know, I do hardly anything in my own strength now. I'm more resting in God because I know how to operate the laws. Faith is a law. So, yeah, I'll share later.
Lovely.
Yeah.
It's like my sister, she's 93.
Oh, wow.
She's got dementia.
Okay.
And I'll phone her up and I'll go, how are you today, Mel? And she'll go, oh, I'm not so well today. So I start singing with her. To you, I was brought up Salvation Army.
Yeah.
And we sing all these Salvation Army songs. And I said, don't you feel better now? And she'll join in. In fact, I can't keep up with her life. And we can sing, count your blessings, name them one by one, you know. And she sings it too quick for me.
Yeah.
But it makes her day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she's been brought up, you know, out of the depths.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And at 93, to see her like it, I mean, she said to me, this will make me laugh, she said to me, fortnight ago, I'm fed up of being on my own. I'm living on my own. I am so lonely, so lonely. Now, her son died about 12 years ago, her eldest son. She said, even my Lawrence hasn't been to see me since he died. Well, I just burst out laughing and just said, you haven't been to see me neither, Millie.
Thank God for that one.
And then I explained to her what she said, and she couldn't stop laughing. So she hadn't lost her sense of humour. But it was so funny. Some of the things she comes out with, although her mind going like it, is tragic.
Yeah.
But she's so soft and loving, isn't she, Alison?
Absolutely, Barbara. And, you know, I think when you take the truth of God and think about it, God can really take us somewhere. We are all members of the body of Christ, and we all know the ones who are in the limelight and the power and the glory, and Reinhard Bonnke and Joyce Meyer, and they're all fantastic. But what about the ones? We're all one body. Well, the heart is very important, you know. Yeah. There's members of the body of Christ who are the heart and the liver, and we don't see them. Yeah. And sweet Millie there, she's, you know, society would say, society look at a life, well, you know, the kids, we don't care about them, they don't contribute. Old ones, cut off them, you know, this is the chunk of society we win. So you go for voting and you push this to influence this. And, you know, so in society's eyes, they, you know, a wee one, yeah, kids again, and old people, yeah, worthless. But in the eyes of God, just huge. And God's blessing on your sweet sister and all you do to minister. Sometimes it'll be eight times a day. You know, Millie, Barbara will answer the phone to Millie, and we'll find out how to kind of turn off the phone now, so she doesn't have to answer it 8 times. It'd be up to 18, darling, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, but all handled with love and everything. But in the eyes of God, Millie is as important as, and I love her, Joyce Meyer walking on the stage with the limelight and the power and the glory. Yeah, and we need to learn to look like God looks, to get his whole nature. You know, a healing here, a miracle there, it's all part of life, but it's a whole thinking and appreciation. And before God, Millie is so, so special. Yes. So, so special. And because she's important to God, she's important to me and to others. So it's wonderful. Again, and that's the one body of Christ. So, like, the great truth of God, it's easy, know that, got it, okay. Is it, tea time, let's go, and away you go. Yeah. So the thought's gone in, but it's not become part of our thinking. So that's just lovely.
Yeah, she loves having praise then. Yeah, she does love her praise every day.
Yeah. She's got these red high-heeled shoes. Millie, you are wild. Only a wild woman wears high-heeled shoes.
Oh, you're like a mother.
How old is she? 93? And she wears red high heels as well.
Yeah, she's slim and light, slim build like Barbara, so she holds it well, you know. So she's lovely and got a great sense of humour and one of God's elect.
She loves Robert, and they've got a word going between them, you know, and she'll say to him, he'll tease her. And she'll come to the phone and go, I've got a carrier bag here and it's full of punches.
Brilliant.
Hello, darling.
Hello. Hello, sweetheart.
So is there anybody else you'd like to share?
Aren't you?
Go on, Al, you got
you
something to share.
You said you had something to share.
Oh, okay.
Lovely. Car, you did.
Great.
Up until sort of last week, the past 3 or 4 weeks have been pure hell. Is the only way of describing it. Been in and out of hospital with heart problems and things. So, and then sort of Wednesday night, I was like, I'm fed up feeling like this. I said, God, if you're there, you'll show me a sign. So I go out for Thursday, not thinking anything of it, just carrying about my business. And then I'm out shopping, and then I'm about to cross the road. And I was like, I swear that's Lawrence. So I tap him on the shoulder, and then we go and have a coffee, and we get talking, and just started pouring out my heart. That night, I ended up at Fellowship.
Great.
Like, since... like having a fellowship with the other believers, listening to the word, reading the word, I've had none of this, like, feeling uneasy, none of this pain in my chest, nothing.
Praise the Lord.
It's honestly like a weight has been lifted.
Oh, fantastic.
And, like, work have been, you've had so much time off work, you might have to, like, look at redundancy and... or moving you to another department. It's like, I'm not accepting that. I'm not going to let you bully into me into making any decision like that. So I had my meeting on Friday with them. I lifted it to God before I went in. Everything couldn't have gone any better.
Oh, fantastic.
They were coming out with a negative, and I was just bang. Straight with a positive, like throwing it back at them.
And that's nothing, what they want to see, that you've got that fight to stand for yourself.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm not giving up. And my boss turned around and said, after that, there's plenty of people in your position that would have just thrown the towel in and said, no, enough's enough.
Good.
But I'm not a quitter. You know, God's not given me a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I can do all things, and I will do all things.
I ran that one down your throat.
You
can do all things through Christ.
Yeah. There's no such word as can't.
There's no such word as can't.
Wonderful. That gives me great joy, Al. That's wonderful.
I've got that fire burning again, and it ain't going out.
Amen, brother.
And as we were driving up, it was bringing back memories when we all drove up here in the minibus with all the kids in the car.
Yeah.
And I remember this. Remember when we were singing those songs? Remember when we were doing the Nummerplate thing? And
it brought back so many memories.
Flooding just back to him.
Like,
yeah,
nothing ever been away.
Like, yeah, Peggy's never been away. So.
Good. That's good. Just great.
I'm back and you're going to get rid of me now.
Just don't bring Sean back.
Oh, no, he's
I was joking. Bless his heart.
He's happily married.
Yeah.
Second thing.
That's good. That's good.
I never thought he'd do
that. And the word never returns void. All what you learnt when you were younger, you know, that word's in there.
Seems there.
You know, when you need him, you call on him and he answers, always.
Exactly.
And what was it you said on Thursday? You could walk a million miles away from God, but it only takes one step
to come back. It certainly did.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's only one thought away, one call away.
That's it, no matter what you go through.
It's that telephone call, that mobile phone that has got signal constantly. It's never going to lose signal. Never going to die by battery or anything. It's always there. Connections there. It's just keeping faithful and keeping connected.
You're absolutely right, Al. It's like Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, and he said, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. It says, they will not follow a stranger.
It doesn't say they don't hear the voice of the stranger.
That's right. And we all have voices and suggestions coming from every source, every day, all of us do. It's like people think the two trees in the garden of Genesis, you know, freely eat of any tree, then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil don't touch. Every day we make a decision. Are we going to take from God's full free provision or the knowledge of good and evil? And it's that knowledge. We've never lived in a time where reasoning just seems so attractive. You know, why healing wouldn't work, why this wouldn't work, why prayer is a waste of time, why God, well, not in the 21st century. All the reasoning and smart intellect, and we just say no to it. And God's the greatest, we shine with him.
Yeah.
Will we have a time of prayer? Is there anything specific people want to pray for and give to God?